The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Hello and welcome to the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan. This week, more action urged in the event of any environmental issues in the North Sea and elsewhere in the EU. Donald Trump loses his legal challenge to an offshore wind farm, and a fatal accident inquiry into a North Sea helicopter crash draws to a close. But first, the profits made by the UK's biggest gas suppliers should be investigated, according to the Westminster Energy Secretary. Ed Davies written to the regulator Ofgem, urging it to look into the so-called Big Six. Its claimed profit margins made supplying gas can be 5 times those of supplying electricity. Landowners in some parts of the North East have been contacted by Scottish Hydro's owner SSE. It's because they're carrying out helicopter inspections of overhead power lines in areas such as Lawrence Kirk and Kintore over the next fortnight. Hundreds of young people from across the North East have been taking part in an Energise Your Future event. It's as the Subsea Expo came to a close at the AECC last week. The secondary school pupils were shown the wide range of career options open to them in the energy industry. This week, hopes a study into the environmental impact of the oil industry in the EU could lead to more action being taken across the continent. Aberdeen University researchers have told the European Parliament there's not always an assessment of long-term effects on fisheries and the ecosystem following incidents, but they've urged Brussels to look at the lessons from the North Sea when dealing with non-union areas. Here's Dr. David Green.
It's really a scoping report to consider the impact of oil and gas activities on European fisheries. Evidence from the material that we've sourced suggests that there is an awful lot of work that's been done in the North Sea. The concerns, I think, from the European Parliament are more to do with some of the newer areas that are now being explored for oil and gas production, particularly the Black Sea, the Baltic, and the Mediterranean, where obviously, the situation and the conditions are slightly different, and because many European countries are obviously consumers of fish and there's a huge amount of the economy is based upon tourism, they're obviously quite concerned about the impact that any oil and gas activities may have. And in part, I think this has been highlighted by the incident in the Gulf of Mexico, which clearly indicated that accidents can still happen and they can have a very severe impact. And, of course, although we know an awful lot about the North Sea and other areas, we need probably to find out more to be absolutely sure that the impact of oil and gas activities is not something that is potentially long-term and damaging, particularly to the fisheries industry.
Are there lessons that other parts of the EU, you mentioned the Mediterranean, the Black Sea areas, can learn from here in the North Sea? I mean, we obviously had the Breyer tanker grounding in 1993. Do you feel the industry here is better placed to cope than some other parts of Europe?
Yes, I think we're probably better placed in many respects, although obviously many of the incidents and accidents that have taken place historically have obviously been from transport of oil, particularly in tankers. And if you look back to the 60s, 70s, 80s, even into the 90s, there's been some major incidents in European waters which have had quite devastating effects on the coast. But I think a lot of what we've learned over time and many of the responses that we've had since those times have certainly improved the situation, and certainly the ecosystems are probably at less risk than they were in the past. But that doesn't mean to say that there aren't gaps in our knowledge and understanding and that we still need to find out more. And whilst we have a lot of expertise in the North Sea, much of that is highly relevant, obviously, to many other parts of the world, and particularly areas where some of the challenges are slightly different in terms of deep water operations and so on. But I think we also have to remember that a lot of the technologies and so on have also come quite a long way. So we're much better prepared, I think, to minimise the impact of oil and gas industries on the environment. And, of course, oil and gas industries also take this very seriously.
A Northeast Energy Production Technology Company has completed its acquisition of an engineering firm. West Hill-based ProService buyout of KRG Industries will see the firm increase its staff to more than 2,200 employees. Scottish Power says it wants to create up to 1,000 new energy jobs by doubling generation at a major hydro scheme. The company wants to rebuild its Kraken Dam near Oban into a huge natural battery, using wind power at night to pump water into the reservoir. First Minister Alex Salmond's been visiting Europe's largest pump storage facility in Valencia at the firm's parent company, Iberdrola.
One of the issues about wind is the wind blows at night as well as during the day. So at night you can have too much energy. What this allows you to do is to use that electricity to pump water into the vast caverns up the hills, and then when you need it in the peak times, you touch a button and down the water comes and out the electricity flows. It'll take exactly 26 seconds to turn on that giant battery. So this is an example of Scotland's renewable energy being used to be compatible with each other to give us one of the safest, one of the greenest and one of the cheapest sources of energy supply in all of Europe. Hydropower being born again as one of the great expanding sources of energy in Scotland. And I think most folk know that hydropower is one of the most useful, one of the most flexible and one of the cheapest sources of energy, as well as being one of the greenest.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Backers of the Aberdeen Bay Wind Project this week said it's absolutely vital for the offshore wind industry here. Donald Trump lost his legal challenge on Tuesday at the Court of Session to the go-ahead of the European Offshore Wind Deployment Centre. He argued the 11-turbine scheme would ruin the view from his many estate resorts. Whilst there are still planning issues for the EOWDC to overcome, Ian Todd from AREG told me it's a development the sector needs.
Well, this is a very welcome ruling today from the Court of Session. It's a major milestone for our project. Still a lot of work to do, of course, but it is a big day for us, yes.
The Trump Organisation saying they believe there are so many economic and legal obstacles still to overcome that this project will never happen. What do you make of that?
The project partners are very confident that this project will be delivered on the timescale that we've set. We've got a date agreed with National Grid for connecting it into the grid at the end of 2017. Now, we are hoping to bring that date somewhat earlier, but we have a very firm date for connection. As I say, we've got a lot of work still to do to deliver the project. Some of the challenges are financial. There are still some planning issues to be resolved, as I'm sure you're aware, in terms of the onshore cable. But we're working very hard on these issues, and we're very confident we'll deliver the project on those timescales.
This action began in November. I mean, has this had much of an impact on the plan and the progress of the EOWDC, or has it not had much of an impact at all?
No, our background work has been continuing on, moving towards, you know, construction and completion. But it has been some uncertainty, and it's great to have that uncertainty removed. We now know the ruling, although our lawyers are looking at the detail of the ruling, the overall impression is it has validated the process undertaken by the Scottish Government in giving us consent. So that consent is confirmed.
Just lastly, there's a question we've asked often in the past. Anyway, the Scottish Government saying they're pleased by the decision. What will this project do for the renewables industry in Scotland?
This project is absolutely vital for the Scottish offshore wind industry. It's going to be where they demonstrate the new larger turbines, also novel foundation types. It will also incidentally supply over half of the domestic electricity of the city of Aberdeen. So that will all be coming from green sources. So it's a major step for the city and it's a major step for Scotland. That's why we're all working so hard to make sure we deliver it on time.
Eastern Airways has sealed a deal with BP for oil flights between Aberdeen and Sumburgh. The energy giant's planning to fly rig workers offshore by helicopter from Shetland rather than directly from the Granite City. The fatal accident inquiry into a North Sea helicopter crash this week came to an end in Aberdeen. There's been 6 weeks of evidence into the Super Puma disaster in 2009, in which 16 people lost their lives. Much of the evidence centred on the gearbox, which failed catastrophically above the North Sea. On Thursday, the manufacturer's legal team said all steps are being investigated to prevent a repeat of the tragedy. Lawyers representing the families criticised the length of time it's taken to get to this point. We're expecting the sheriff to release his findings next month. There are reports Shell set to announce the sale of 3 North Sea assets as part of a multi-billion pounds divestment plan. Sunderstood staff were briefed on the sale of the Anasunia, which is a manned floating installation off the coast of Aberdeen, the Nelson and the Shaun assets. The energy firm previously announced it was to offload some of its assets worldwide, but remains committed to the North Sea area. The UK government's announced more than £8 million has been given to two firms to increase innovation in storing energy. The contract's been awarded to a partnership of Viridor Waste Management Limited and Highview Power Storage. The Department of Energy and Climate Change says it's to support energy storage technology and research. The companies will be using the money to develop a way of storing air in a liquid format, which can then be used to supply electricity at times of high demand. And rounding off the week, it's claimed a second Aberdeen Harbour has a critical role to play in the future of Scotland. A report for Scottish Enterprise by Bigger Economics says the plans for Nigg Bay would create 3,000 jobs and £1 billion every year for the economy. Harbour bosses are currently trying to raise enough money for the expansion. Graham Blackett, Director of Bigger Economics, spoke to my colleague Joe Odber.
We were asked to look at, first of all, the current economic impact of the harbour, and then we were asked to look at what the future economic impact might be if the proposed expansion of the harbour into Nigg Bay went ahead, and also what it might be, actually, if that project didn't go ahead.
So just tell us then first, how important is the harbour to the North East and Scotland?
Well, it makes a very important contribution to the Scottish economy as a whole. The current economic impact is about £1.5 billion per year at the Scottish economy level, and that supports around 12,000 jobs. And those jobs come from the on-site harbour operations, but also related off-site logistical operations, so if you like, the transport operations associated with the harbour. And also it makes an important contribution in terms of attracting and maintaining the oil and gas sector in Aberdeen.
So what would the difference be then if it was... I mean, it's pretty much doubled in size, these proposals, isn't it?
It's getting to that sort of scale of growth, that's right, yes. And part of the reason for that is there's pressure on the current capacity of the harbour. It's pretty much full in terms of current operations. And so if it didn't go ahead, the issue is that it would struggle to meet the demands that have been put on it. And as a result of that, Aberdeen and Scotland risks losing business to harbours elsewhere in Europe. For example, in Norway, where there's significant investment going into harbours there. And what that could mean, the knock-on effect of that could be that some of the oil and gas business is lost to Aberdeen and Scotland as well. So, you know, that's a downside if investment didn't go into the harbour. You know, it's possible that you get decline due to the competition from other countries.
And if you put the figures together for that, what the effect would be if this doesn't go ahead?
Yeah, I mean, it could lose maybe about a third of the current economic impact. You know, so it would reduce to about £1 billion if the investment didn't go ahead. But it's probably a typical economist actually starting by talking about the negatives in terms of what would happen if it didn't go ahead.
Yeah. So
the other side of this is looking at if the investment did go ahead, you'd be looking at a considerable increase in terms of the economic impact of the harbour.
And what would that effect be?
Well, that would increase the impact again by about a third. So, you know, the economic impact would then be around about £2 billion at the Scottish economy level, and you know, that would support more than 15,000 jobs. So it would be making a big impact.
And it's an effect not just in this area as well, but Scotland as a whole.
That's right. Yes, at the Scottish level, and I mean the impact comes from a number of different sources. So, obviously, there's a continuing on-site harbour operations. And the oil and gas sector continues to be very much the driver of that. So that impact comes from the management of the existing fields, from the new developments and also from decommissioning of the older assets.
Don't forget, for all the latest news from the energy sector, tune into our special North Sound Energy Bulletins each weekday morning during Greg's Eight Breakfast and the Robin Galloway Breakfast Show. That's it for this week. This has been the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.